Well, thanks, Susan, so much for leading us, and Manny and Elijah, thanks for leading us in worship. I've asked them to just be following along in the back, so you might see them commenting on their phones or just following along in the scriptures, having a little bit of an amen section behind me. That's fun. I like that. It's good. So guys, thanks so much for doing that. We are in just such a strange time, aren't we? Just as a way of kind of checking in with each other, I wonder if you would leave a comment to this phrase. Right now, I think people are feeling blank. So let's take a moment and love to hear what you have to say about that. Because I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing quite a range of emotion these last few months. It just seems like it's more of a roller coaster, I guess, than ever before. There's days where I feel overwhelmed, days where I feel angry, maybe retreating, sometimes even being overly accommodating. But just it's a strange season. You know, so I see people like, well, Tony says frustrated, Sandy frustrated. Yeah, people are feeling frustrated. I know I am too. Wow, we have a lot of votes for frustrated. So Susan, Wendy, frustrated, lonely. But people are feeling a lot of different things. The isolation is really hard. But in the midst of all this, I also would like you to take a moment to comment on this question. Scared, angry, frustrated, ready to resume. Would you take a moment to comment on this one? I want to be. I want to be. So you can even use the whole phrase just so people can know which of the two phrases you're responding to if you like. But I want to be. I want to be. Because I think for myself, you know, I even though this is a really difficult time, in my heart of hearts, you know, I want to be a person of faith, strength. Or today in particular, I want to introduce you to a phrase that we just see, especially here in the book of Acts, a phrase that this is really the topic for today, but the phrase holy boldness. Because what we see, and this is why I just love being in the book of Acts right now, is we see a church that is struggling with all sorts of change, all sorts of things that all sorts of forces working against them. And in the midst of it, they thrived. I mean, it's a sheer miracle that the message of Jesus made it out of the first century when you look at all the opposition. It's a sheer miracle, and it is a miracle because God was involved. He strengthened them. And he strengthened us. And the same Holy Spirit that was present in ministering to and in and through the book of, you know, the early church in the book of Acts is with us right now. So I wanted to spend some time actually with a story we find in Acts chapter 4. So if you got your Bibles and you're turning there, we're going to be reading from verses 18 through 31. And this is it's a story of where the church is feeling its first real opposition post-Pentecost. So Jesus has died, he's risen, they've seen it, they've been convinced by the evidence they've seen. Jesus has ascended up into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit, and then 50 days roughly after his death, the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, and the church started moving in power. We even looked at some of that last week, you know, spoke in other tongues, amazing stuff. Or I should say 2 weeks ago, and then this first real, like, well documented, super public miracle has happened as a lame man is healed. Well, it forms a crowd. Peter preaches this really bold sermon. A whole bunch of people come to faith, and then the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the same group of people that saw to the execution of Jesus, start leaning in on Peter and John. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 18. So then they called them in again. So the rulers and elders of the people, they called Peter and John in again, and they commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges." As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. I wonder what those further threats were. But they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they said this, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So they're quoting from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great, and then we get to our word of the day, with great, now if you're at home, let's say it together, okay? Or if you're here, you're part of my amen section, my masked amen section, my band, yeah. All right, they spoke the word with great
boldness,
with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. And then there's our word of the day again. They spoke the word of God. Say it out loud with me. Boldly. They spoke it boldly. So let's talk about holy boldness. So what is holy boldness? So I want to define it by what it's not. Here's what holy boldness is not. Holy boldness is not, is not human bravado. Now, human bravado isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's good sometimes to pump each other up. I mean, I think of things like the hashtag we've got this or hashtag Wenatchee strong. I've posted like that and it's good. Yeah, we can make it through. And it's good sometimes to be positive talking to each other, but holy boldness goes a whole lot further than that. Or you think of we're music fans in our house. This is a shout out to my daughter, Elizabeth, the Queen song. We are the champions, my friends. Da, da, da. Ian would just rock the guitar on that. Anyways, but it's fun sometimes to pump each other up with that. But holy boldness is not human bravado. It's not just saying to one another, hey, you're awesome, I'm awesome, we've got this. It's trusting in something much deeper because the anchor point of holy boldness isn't ourselves. It's God. That we are made bold because of our awareness of who God is, what God is doing in the world, and our trust in him. So holy boldness is not human bravado. Not all human bravado is bad, but it goes way deeper than human bravado. Here's the second thing. Is holy boldness is not disrespectful of authority. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. Because, see, if you're a Bible scholar and you're kind of reading along, now, see, here in Acts 4 and Acts 5, we see an example, actually, of the early church leaders disobeying a direct order from the chief priests and rulers. Now, I am reading a little bit into the tone, but bear with me for a second. But I do hope that if you're a Bible scholar, you hear some dialogue in the Bible, that you're really careful about how you read the tone of that dialogue. Because when we just see the words, but we don't hear how those words are said, it can be hard to know exactly what's being said. Like if imagine a friend sending you a text, they say, what are you doing? You don't know the tone of that, right? That's why face-to-face and voice-to-voice conversation is, if you're ever in a conflicted situation, choose voice-to-voice, face-to-face over text, texting all the time. Texting is, you rarely will solve problems because you don't know the tone, because that could be everything from like, what are you doing? What are you doing? To the playful, hey, what are you doing? You know, if your spouse, you know, texts you, what are you doing? You're like, well, I'm not busy now. Like you, it can mean a lot of different things depending on the tone, right? And so as we hear Peter and John's response to the chief priests and elders, I'm going to make an assumption that the tone was respectful. And here's why. It's because as we read further into the book of Acts, we hear in greater length how the early church responded to those leaders when they were called to account. And we see teaching from the Apostle Paul later on in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. So let's just take a look at that. We're going to jump there for a second. Is it, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So the scriptures, they point us to this really, this high view of respecting authority. So we need to take a closer look at what's going on here. And I think we can even, you know, because we recognize that the scripture is unified, the scripture speaks with one voice throughout, it's fair to assume, I believe, that the early church leaders, even Peter and John, as they're responding to the chief priests and elders, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speak about what we have seen and heard. That even as they are about to disobey this order, they're doing so with an underlying tone of respect. It's because there are a few times, there are a very, very few times, where as Christians we are called to disobey human authority. And here's maybe a summary phrase that can help us navigate those times. If human authority tells you to sin, don't. There you go. Yeah, they're like, yeah. But if human authority tells you to sin, don't. But that's why throughout history, you know, there have been a very, very few times where Christians will disobey the laws of the land. You, in the most respectful ways possible, looking for creative ways to work within the legal systems all the time. But so that might be everything from evangelism. Like our church, we support some missionaries that are doing Christian work in countries where Christian missionaries are illegal. Now, we follow all the immigration laws. We do all those things very, very carefully. But the one thing we cannot help but do is tell people about Jesus and what Jesus has done. Historically, Christians have at times smuggled Bibles into countries where the Word of God and distributing the Word of God was illegal. We're increasingly doing it in creative ways. I mean, you can email the Bible to somebody. It's fantastic. I mean, so we use technology. We do things within the law. We are respectful, but there are times where there is a higher law that we need to follow. If somebody ever made a law, and there perhaps have been places and times where this has happened, where that says, don't feed the hungry, don't help the sick, don't ever minister to the prisoner, Christians would find ways to creatively do all of those things. And we have, in the most respectful ways possible. Or you think of, I realize this is February, but you know, like the story of Valentine's Day? And the person we know is Saint Valentine. Well, you know, the reason we remember Saint Valentine and Valentine's Day is because there was a period in history where there was a government that prohibited marriage because they believed that if guys were single, they would fight more ferociously in the army. If they had somebody back at home, they would kind of hold them back. And so marriage for a time And in the place where St. Ballantyne lived was prohibited. And so he held secret weddings because Christians make commitments to one another. It's part of what we do. So if human authority tells you to sin, don't. Now you might be wondering, because this is a place even in modern times where the church has been divided a little bit, you know, because with the pandemic and all the things that we need to do to guard human health, and there we haven't been able to meet in person. But let me let in on a little secret. If you're watching this right now, we figured it out. We're doing something a little bit creative and a little bit subversive, perhaps. Because one way or another, we're going to find a way to meet. Now, I don't believe that, you know, the pandemic and the responses to it are persecution necessarily. I mean, the church is being treated in the same way as sports franchises or casinos or theaters. And I mean, it's being reasonably evenly applied. But even when there are significant barriers to doing the things that God calls us to do, like gather together to worship and worship God and encourage one another, we find ways to do it. Thank you for finding a way to do it. You're sitting there in your living room, you're in your front room, you're watching this on your phone, on your iPad, on your laptop. We are worshiping together right now. Isn't that cool? All right, I don't want to hit that point too hard, but I'd love to talk with you more about it, because this is one of those live issues in faith right now. I'd love for you to join me Thursday night on our online Bible study. You may have a different opinion than me on some of these things. That's absolutely okay, but let's talk about it together. So, holy boldness. The early church had holy boldness, this ability, even in the face of all this adversity, to keep going and to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So, where does this holy boldness come from? Let's look at the first kind of obvious point. Holy boldness comes from experiencing God. Right? The early church leaders, that they had witnessed the resurrection. They had seen Jesus die. They'd seen Jesus rise again. It's about 2 months later. They're thinking back on what Jesus had done, and it filled them with holy boldness, even in the face of those who were pivotal in bringing about Jesus' crucifixion. But they remembered what God had done. They had experienced God. So they remembered what had happened. And see, friends, you can too. So think of how Jesus has changed your life. Think about what he's done in you. The difference, the pre-Jesus you and the post-Jesus you. Think about that, how you've experienced God. As you do, as I do, as we do, it will fill us with increasing measures of holy boldness. God is good. And secondly, is the same God that we experienced, whether in those dramatic moments, you know, I mean, because the dramatic moments in our life, we can't necessarily control when they happen. That's completely up to God's timing. But what we can do daily is we can set aside time to seek the Lord. And it's amazing what can happen when you set aside that 10, that 15, that 20 minutes, that whatever amount of time to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time remembering what God has done in the past, and just to ask him to guide you today. Holy boldness comes from experiencing God. That's why, church, I urge you, especially in this time of anxiety and frustration, and we are feeling all of those things, this is the time, church, to double down, if anything, on those just fundamental Christian habits of being in the Word of God, of spending time daily in prayer. The same Holy Spirit that empowered the early church can empower and strengthen you today, right here, right now. So that's the first thing. Holy boldness comes from experiencing God. But there's another place as well. And we see this really clearly in the text here. Holy boldness comes from remembering God's story. So the early church, they start to experience this persecution, this pushback. There's rulers that say, stop preaching Jesus. And they're like, we can't, we can't. And then they go back to the scriptures. They start reading Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Why did the nations rage? Why did the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together. They remembered that in the past, people have pushed back against the rule and leadership of God. It should come as no surprise to us, Christians. It should come as no surprise that in this world, we will have trouble. Jesus said that. But he also said, take heart. I have overcome the world. It's important that we remember where we are in God's story. So here, you could put this in a bunch of different ways, but here's maybe one way to do it. To remember, you know, the God's story starts with creation. A God who creates the world out of his love, creates a world that is perfect and good. After creation comes the fall. Humankind are the prototype, male and female, Adam and Eve. They, just like all of us who would follow in their genetic and in their spiritual legacy, they would choose to disobey, just like we do. So we are a fallen humanity. But God isn't through with us. And so he begins this rescue plan by raising up initially the nation of Israel, calling to Abraham and Abraham's offspring. And then through Abraham's offspring would come the one on whom all history pivots, Jesus, who would be born as a human being, who would teach, who would heal, who would die, who would rise again, who would ascend into heaven, and then would instruct and equip and empower us as the church to go tell the story everywhere, even in the midst of hardship. And that same Jesus, one day, we got to remember this, friends, that same Jesus, the one who lived and died and rose again, that same Jesus, he's coming again to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. We live in a fallen world right now. Things are not going to go right. But one day, I wish I could just look you straight in the eye, but one day, take heart, one day, that same God is going to set things right. One day, sin will be eradicated. One day, all of the things that we're experiencing will be such a distant memory that we can hardly even remember it. And the joy that we will experience as we spend eternity with God in the new heaven and the new earth will be so much greater, be incomparably greater than the hardship and suffering that we're enduring right now. Holy boldness comes from remembering God's story and where we are in it, because God is not finished yet. Because friends, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can breathe life into the dead places in your life. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise you and me from the grave. Death is not the end. Whatever hardship we're experiencing right now is not the end. It is not the end of the story. God is not done, and God will ultimately prevail. Fill your heart with that. Holy boldness comes from remembering our place in God's story. So remember what he has done, church. Remember what he has done in you, in us, and remember what he is doing. And let the Holy Spirit today please fill you with holy boldness If you're commenting along, maybe even just pray, God, fill me with holy boldness. But I want to go a little bit further with that. And so I want you to comment on two more things, because I want to actually put this into practice so we can encourage one another with our, you know, with our one word, two word, short phrase testimonies. Post on one of these two comments, okay? Would you do it? Jesus has given me blank. So Jesus has given me hope. Jesus has given me life. Jesus has given me a second chance. Remember what God has done in your past. What grace has accomplished in your life. Take a moment and do that as you do, as we do. God will fill us with holy boldness. And if you are distant from God today, you don't know necessarily where you are in your walk with Jesus, you can start that journey with him. You can start that relational with him right now. Jesus, come into my life. Be my savior. Be my forgiver. And Lord, change me from the inside out. So I'd like to see some comments on this. That's right. Hope. Jesus has given me hope, says Aaron. Jesus has given me forgiveness, says Bev. Jesus has given me strength, says Judy. And then post on this one as well. Through Jesus, I have. And you might even be the same word or phrase, but the thing that's good about that phrase is it looks forward to the future. Through Jesus, I have assurance of heaven. Through Jesus, I have no fear of death. Through Jesus, I have perspective for the following week, whatever that's going to be for you. Aylette says, Jesus has given me strength and understanding. Loretta says, Jesus has given me life and faith. Kelly says hope and life. Keith says life. Lana says saved my granddaughter. The same Holy Spirit that empowered and strengthened the early church in the midst of persecution and hardship is with you, church, right here, right now. Let him fill you with holy boldness. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's doing. Remember where we're going. Remember that this is not the end. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the testimonies that are scrolling across the screens right now. God, thank you as we remember what you've done in our past personally, it fills a greater degree of holy boldness where our hope is anchored, not just in human bravado, but in something so much deeper. That our hope is anchored in you, in what you have done, and in what you are doing. Lord, I want to speak hope into those places where people are feeling despair. I want to speak hope into those places where people are feeling frustrated. Our frustration, it so often comes because life feels out of control, or it feels like the rules around us are so arbitrary and they're changing so fast and we don't know what to do. But God, we remember that you are the ultimate author and guide of history. And so when the nations rage and the people plot in vain and the kings of the earth rise up against the Lord and against his anointed way, remember, God, that you prevail. You prevailed over death in the resurrection. You prevailed over sickness in the multiple healings. You prevailed over despair in countless stories. You prevailed over hopelessness in our lives. You prevailed over sin. And that, God, ultimately you will prevail over everything. That one day we will stand before you. So, Lord, help us to live every day in light of that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.